Hi, I'm Renee Colbert.
And I'm Alexis Preston.
And this is An Animal Saved My Life, a podcast about the incredible animals who change our lives forever. So Alexis, so far, we've been hearing some pretty great stories about amazing animals that have literally been saving people from danger. You know, a whale saves a woman from a shark, a dog rescues a hiker. But sometimes, animals change our lives in more subtle ways.
That's true. Actually, my dog decides when I wake up, and not me.
Sure. My dog brings me a shoe. One that I need? Certainly not. Does it change my life? A little. Makes me think if I'm wearing the right shoes.
Well, today I actually have a story about your dog's, I would say, mortal enemy. A squirrel.
A squirrel?
Mm-hmm. Your ordinary, common, run-of-the-mill squirrel.
I know.
They're everywhere. And we kind of only think about them when they run out into the street and do that zigzag thing, or when they eat all our tomatoes in the garden. And besides that, they're just kind of there.
So true.
But I talked to this lovely lady, Brantley, who decided to really pay attention to a squirrel. And it actually kind of changed things for her.
Okay. Do you think after my dog Tugboat hears this, it'll change his opinion?
I think it just might.
My name is Brantley Harrison. I'm in my kitchen with my six dogs, and some are playing, some are sleeping. I live in Greenville, South Carolina, and I work with a couple different wildlife rescues here. My ultimate goal as a wildlife rehab, hold on one second. Amos, come here. Not you, you're too fat, I can't hold you. Come here, Amos. Come here, baby. Amos is now in on an interview. Okay. My grandmother was very much a nature lover, loved all animals and all things, and she did not have her driver's license. And so we walked everywhere. She always just had an eye for seeing things, like if it had been raining and there were worms that we would come across, she would lean down and pick it up and throw it back. She just taught us to appreciate the whole world around you. That's just how she was. So if it rains too hard, earthworms come out and they're on the street or on the sidewalk, and I'm the one who is throwing them back into the grass. I've just always kind of looked out for the underdog just a little bit. My grandmother taught us all to be that way.
When Brantley grew up and had kids of her own, she wanted to set the same example as her grandmother. So when a neighbor found a baby squirrel in their backyard, Brantley offered to care for it. She hadn't raised a baby squirrel since she was in fourth grade. So she Googled her local wildlife rehab and called them up.
I met the president of Wildlife Rehab of Greenville at a parking lot. And so we stood there, talked about 10, 15 minutes. I told her, you know, I raised squirrels when we were little. And she was like, well, would you be interested in doing it now? And I thought, you know, why not? I said, I can give it a try. Well, they were having a beginner's class that weekend to, you know, train you how to rehab squirrels. And they gave me Bella and a couple other ones. So we had Bella, Larry, Moe, and Curly were the four that I raised together. You know, it kind of was put in my lap. And I thought this would be kind of a good thing for my kids to see and be involved in.
When you got that first batch of squirrels, what were they like when you first got them?
All their eyes were closed, and they have hair all over them, but it's really smooth, and their tail is not fluffy. It doesn't stick out like a typical squirrel tail does. And they just, they sleep a whole lot. About a week to 2 weeks after I got them, their eyes will start opening, and then they get a lot more active.
Brantley got into a routine of raising Bella and the Three Stooges, feeding them 4 to 5 times a day using a syringe. But she was okay with it. She was rehabbing wild animals, not adopting pets. It would be over soon.
We didn't take a whole lot of pictures because I didn't raise them to be pets. We did not, you know, hold them and love on them. We fed them, we cleaned them up, we changed their bedding, and we put them back. We strictly took care of them to be released back into the wild.
After a few months, the four baby squirrels had grown bigger, and they were eating solid foods. It was time for them to be released.
It was just a typical spring day. It was nice outside. You know, we took the cage into the backyard, opened the door, and it's so fun to watch baby squirrels when you release them for the first time. They go nuts. They run and run and jump and do somersaults and jump on each other and jump over each other. It looks like little kids on a playground. It's so much fun to watch. Well, I opened the door and all of them slowly came out of the cage. They run off and then they kind of run back because they're not too sure, you know, how far they want to go and what to do. So they were going crazy and running up and down, and I was very worried about touching them because they're big squirrels at that point. Baby Bella, she actually let me kind of touch and pet her. She didn't want to be loved on, but she let me touch her. And then I go to touch one of the boys and he wanted nothing to do with me at all. He took off running. So that was the first time I realized that her personality might be a little different than the other three squirrels.
After Bella was released, she kept coming back to her cage. But from what Brantley had learned in her wildlife rehab classes, that was totally normal.
It is not uncommon for a squirrel that you release to come back for 2 or 3 weeks every few days. So they typically stay pretty close to that cage that's been their home. They don't want to go too far.
But Bella, she kept coming back for weeks. And then weeks became months.
When talking to my friends who do squirrel rehab, I found out that it was very uncommon for it to happen for months and months and months.
After the break, more visits from Bella. As the months went by, Bella kept visiting. Not every day, and not even every week. Bella was off living her best squirrel life, foraging for food, making winter nests. But inevitably, Bella would come back. Usually, she'd just hop through the backyard, onto the back porch, and stare into the kitchen window.
One time I came to the front door, and there was a UPS man standing there with a box, and he's looking at me like, And I looked down and Bella is at his feet. And I was like, I am so sorry. He goes, well, it was just kind of odd. She kept on looking at me like, hello, don't you know that you're supposed to give me something? Or he goes, it was just very strange. So I told him, I said, there's nuts in the mailbox. If you ever come and you see her, grab a nut if you want to. She just was a very social squirrel and would take a nut from anybody that had a nut. She didn't care who it was. If you called her name, she would come up to you and she'd look at you like, what are you doing? Can I have something? I would call her name and she'd look up and she'd stand on her back legs and hold her little front feet up. And I was like, hey, Bella girl. And she'd run on over across the street to come say hello. I explained this to somebody not too long ago. They're like, how did you know it was her? I mean, that's ridiculous. She's a squirrel. If you take a dog breed like a German Shepherd, they all look exactly the same. If you have a German Shepherd, I think you can pick yours out. That's how I look at it. Bella, she was very gray. She also had a black mark that went across her nose. She had a little bit of white around her eyes. She was an Eastern gray squirrel. And one of her toes was messed up, would kind of stick up more than the other ones. At the latter part of her life, she had a little nick out of one of her ears. Obviously something, you know, something got a hold of it.
What was like a typical Bella visit like?
One of my dogs would have loved to have eaten her, Sid. He was born deaf, and so he's a very visual dog. And so he loves to sit at the door. And so I always knew when she was outside because of Sid's body language. He would stiffen up and he'd just sit there and he'd stare. And I was like, I think Bella's here somewhere. And we'd go sit outside. And sometimes it was just me. Sometimes it was my husband and I. Sometimes the kids would come and we would just sit there and she would, you know, crawl around on her laps and we'd hand her a nut and we'd talk to her and we would have just a sit down conversation about, you know, whatever. And she just would happen to be there. And then I don't know where she went, but she'd go off and come back a couple days later. Yeah, Bella just never really kind of left. She always kind of stayed around.
Since Brantley never knew when Bella would visit, she relied on Sid to let her know. But Sid wasn't always on top of his game, and Brantley wondered if she might be missing out on some sweet Bella time. So, she came up with a solution. It required just a minor remodel of the house.
Our front door has 6 small panes, normally at the top, but I ended up hanging my door upside down so that Bella could look in the house.
Oh, that's so cute.
It's really cute. It looks, and it sounds like it doesn't look cute, but it's really cute. It's bright pink. So yeah, I hang my hung my door upside down so the squirrel
so she could just be
in
the bottom there and peek in.
Yep.
Oh.
The things you do for your babies, no matter what they are, right?
Yeah. Is it still upside down?
Yep.
Oh, good.
It is. So it was around Christmas time, and my friend was over, and she said, when did you start letting the squirrel hang out in the house? I was like, what are you talking about? She said, there's a squirrel in your living room. I was like, no, there's not. She goes, yeah, there is. So I go into my living room, and there is Bella laying out on the back of the wingback chair asleep, like she's sprawled out and her legs are dangling on either side and she's asleep. And I was like, what are you doing in the house? I have no idea how she came in. I guess she followed someone in the house and found herself a nice place in the sun to take a nap. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So I had to get her and kick her out and go on her merry way.
Years passed. Sid the dog stared. UPS drivers came and nuts kept disappearing. But Bella remained a near daily presence in Brantley's life. Not only that, Bella had become a member of the neighborhood. Brantley's neighbors started sharing little updates about Bella, whose yard they'd seen her in, and what she'd been up to.
Well, we live on a cul-de-sac, so it's kind of a really quiet street. And whenever we would come home, we would always look for her. We would pull into the driveway, and she'd be sitting on the front porch, like, where y'all been? I'm here. Y'all need to feed me. We knew not to expect her every single day. We didn't even expect her every single week. But I know one time she was gone for 6 weeks, and I just knew she was dead. It's one of those things when you don't know if you're going to have closure because you don't know that they're gone. She could have just moved away. And so you're upset and you're worried, but I couldn't dwell on it because as a rehabber, your ultimate goal is to release them back into the wild. It'd be sad that she's not coming to me anymore, but I can't be sad if she's off living her own life.
Right. You kind of have to brace yourself for the worst, but hope for the best.
Yes. So I was outside going to the mailbox and I looked across the street and I saw a squirrel. I knew it was Bella. And so I said, Bella? And she totally looked at me. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I walked across the street and I was like, you know, I talked to her like we all talk to our dogs. I was like, Bella, oh my gosh, where have you been? And I start crying. I mean, I really cried when I saw her for the first time after those 6 weeks went by. I mean, I sat down on the floor on the concrete in my neighbor's driveway. And I'm like, I know my neighbors think I am crazy. But she came over to me and I called my husband. I was like, oh my gosh, Bella's back.
Was any part of you a little mad at her in a parental way of being like, why would you put me through this?
No, only because I never expected for her to stay ever.
Yeah. So it was just all relief.
Yes, it was total relief. It was total relief. She came back because she chose to.
Right.
And it makes you realize that they have a whole lot more thought process than eating and drinking and making a nest and having babies. And I just never thought about that with a true wild animal that they would choose to come back. We've raised probably 60 or 70 and have all released them all in the same way. We didn't treat any of them like pets. We didn't love on them. And the fact that she chose to come back and to look in the window and to look in the door, and it had to be her personality because we didn't treat her any different.
The story of Brantley and Bella continues after the break. Even though Brantley never thought of Bella as a pet, the two of them still had a special bond. So it was tough when, 5 years into their relationship, Bella got sick.
I was outside one day and saw her up in the tree and realized that one of her feet had turned pink, looked a little swollen, and all the hair had fallen off of it. And I was real concerned that she was going to get an infection and just go off and die. I told my husband, I was like, okay, I think I'm going to have to catch her and I'm going to have to treat her. I'm really worried. We spent 4 different days trying to catch her and trick her, and we did everything. Like, I couldn't get close enough to her like I typically could. And finally on that 4th day, I was like, I'm just going to go for it. I don't care if she bites me. I got to get her. So I just grabbed her. I had big welding gloves on, and I just grabbed her and put her in a cage. I looked at my husband because he was out there helping me, and I was like, and I cried. I was like, oh my gosh, I've been so worried. I was all put together before, and I was so worried. I called some of my rehab friends, and I was like, okay, so this is what's going on. I sent them a picture. I was like, what do I need to do? And so we were actually able to weigh her, got her antibiotics, and so I put her in my guest bathroom. She would go to sleep in her cage, and if I went in there and I opened the door, I could take my hand and slip my hand under her body like they sleep in a circle. And she would take up my whole hand, like outstretched fingers. And I could take her and I could hold her against my chest. It was the most bizarre thing. I was like, I cannot believe that this squirrel that has lived outside for 5 years is totally letting me, like, hold her. Before, I would just kind of touch her. Like, she didn't want to be loved on. She did not want to be pet. And so when she let me do that, obviously she totally trusted me. Finally, the antibiotics, you know, kicked in, and her foot started looking better, and she was walking on it. Everything was good. Well, we were going on vacation, and so I had a pet sitter come in to take care of the dogs. And so I put Bella in a big cage on the back porch. And we came back from being out of town, went out on the back porch. I was like, oh, there's my Bella girl. Hey, Bella. And she looked at me and she jumped down and there was blood on the top of the nesting box. And I was like, oh, you have got to be kidding me. I was like, I swear. I was like, I think she had babies. So I took the top off the box and I looked down and there were 3 little pink hairless baby squirrels in the bottom of the nesting box. I was like, you have got to be kidding me. We took our son's baby monitor and set it on top of the squirrel box. And the monitor sat on our table beside the couch for, you know, 4 months. And we watched her raise her babies. And she nursed them and took care of them. And that to me was amazing, that I raised a squirrel who I then released and then came back and I got to watch her raise her babies. That was an amazing feeling. That really was.
You became a squirrel grandma.
I did. I became grandmama. With everyday life, you kind of get caught up in things you are supposed to be doing, or you think you're supposed to be doing, or I got to do this, or I got to do that. Every time she was at the door, we would stop what we were doing, because we didn't know if she would leave in 5 minutes. So you sit and you look around and you take things in and you just be in the moment, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like often you got from Bella what normally you get from like going out on a hike or something like that, but she brought it to you.
Yes, definitely. With her, it did make you stop and just be. I know Bella has changed the way a whole lot of people think about squirrels. I mean, all over the world.
I'm most shocked when people, I don't know, anytime I see a squirrel, and I've seen hundreds now, but I still get excited. They're like, it's crazy to me that these very like cartoonishly cute creatures are constantly around.
Right. And I think that's why they're taken for granted, because you see them all the time.
Is there anything that you like want the world to know about squirrels?
I'm hoping my children and possibly even other people realize if you just take a little time to help something out that can't help itself, maybe you'll do it in other places in your life. maybe it'll pour over into your everyday world as far as people go.
If Bella could understand every word you said, what would you say to her?
Oh, what would I say to her? I guess I would thank her. I'm crying again. I guess I would just say to her, thank you. Thank you for making me slow down. Thank you for, making me feel loved by something that did not have to love me.
What do you think Bella would say to you?
She would say, thank you for stop giving me cashews, because she did not like cashews. And I was like, that's fine, because those were the more expensive ones. She definitely was a staple in our almost everyday lives. For my birthday one year, my husband had a 16 by 20 professional painting done over her. This is the picture I took when I saw her after 6 weeks.
It's so cute.
She's a mess. Mess. My sweet girl. I do miss her. Thanks, Sid.
Today's episode was produced by Nick Farrago. Story editing by Evan Roberts and Nora Canitas Boydell. John Ross is our sound mixer.
I'm Alexis Preston.
And I'm Renee Colbert.
Thanks for listening to An Animal Saved My Life.
Join us next week for another incredible animal story.